and welcome to another episode of the Audaciousness Podcast with me, Maribel Ortega.
And me, Helen Strong. In this podcast, we showcase individuals who have set themselves bold and audacious goals and have worked to achieve them, with the aim of inspiring others to also set themselves audacious goals and to create a positive movement in the world.
We'd like to highlight the fact that even regular people like you and me can have audacious goals, and that role models are in fact all around us. Each and every one of us can have an impact in some way.
Thank you for listening. We're delighted to have you with us. So, Maribel, tell us about the guest we're going to hear from today.
Our guest and interviewee for this week, her name is Felicia, and she is a young architect I met a couple of years ago, about 5 years ago, when she was working in an architect studio that was one of my clients, and she participated in the group coaching that I did there. And from that moment when I met Felicia, she must have been 26, 27, something like that. So a real young architect. She has shaken off and has flourished and converted into this fantastic, young, empowered entrepreneur that I admire. I like her very much, her attitude. She's definitely has an audacious soul. And that's why I thought we have to have her in our show.
Sounds fantastic. Okay, so we listen to the interview with Felicia now and then come back in half an hour to talk about what we learned. Here's Felicia. We hope you enjoy the interview.
Well, thank you very much, Felicia, that you agreed to participate in our podcast and have this conversation with us. I'm very glad. We had originally another date for recording this conversation, but yes, a baby got in the way. And by now, in the meantime, you have become a mother. So we're very happy for you and your new small family. Tell us, Felicia, that would be my first question. You're welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about what have been the audacious goals that you have decided to take in your life?
Well, thank you. First of all, back to you too for giving me the chance to speak in this podcast. This is a great honor. My audacious goal, I guess it's the way we also met, Maribel. You were pretty much a big part of this. Founding my quite unconventional architectural office at the age of 29, which is now almost 5 years ago, felt at the time as a very bold move. Looking back to the past year, I think it's quite bold to have a child, but now you're going to laugh because you're already a mom of two. And with every month passing, it becomes a little bit, that's not easier, that's definitely the wrong word, but kind of more known. But it felt quite audacious in February when I became a mom. Going back to the main goal, which this podcast I think should be about, is the founding of an office in the center of Munich at the age of 29 in a field that is very man-driven, and it's quite unconventional to be the head of an architectural office as a woman, especially at this age. Mm-hmm. And the other unconventional part of it is that it's not just about architecture, but also about art and about networking amongst women. And I, parallel to the founding of the office, I also founded a network in Munich of about 250 members of young creative women, which is still growing and a very rewarding and fundamental part of my past 4 years.
Yes, I just like how Felicia said, yes, well, on the side, I founded this group of women, which is actually something that has become very big. Would you mind telling us a little bit about Creative Ladies?
Oh, sure. It was an interesting move for myself because I, at this time, I felt still quite awkward with founding a network which only invites women, because that's also in its way a bit segregating. But the more evenings passed, the more rewarding it became, and the more women were interested in joining, the more I understood actually what move I'd made and how important it was to open up this group. I had some interesting experiences during my previous career before founding, and I felt if I had had interesting conversations before, or the ability to talk to more experienced women in my field beforehand, then maybe this or that conversation could have gone the other way and I could have been more bold towards my, let's say, employer or towards my project leader or whatever. So I felt quite motivated to give young women the chance to get inspired by a group of women in a professional way and personal way. That was kind of the idea of founding Creative Ladies. And we're meeting up once a month. During Corona, unfortunately, kind of as so many other things, didn't happen that often, but now we're picking up again and it's a lot of fun, especially because most of them don't know I turned a mom in the meantime. But so we had very different evenings, also one with Maribel coaching us quite at the beginning to see where this should all go towards. And I think the very good part of it was that we kept it very open. We were always open for new ideas, topics, inviting speakers, going to exhibitions, having tours around the city, always on the basis of finding inspiring role models in the history, for example, in the presence, and to learn from each other.
Fantastic. I'd like to come in here, Felicia, with a few congratulations. Congratulations for starting your architectural practice at the age of 29 and for founding this group, Creative Ladies, and then, of course, for becoming a mum as well. So congratulations threefold from me. My question to you is, what are the main things you would say that you've learned in starting the architectural office and also in starting the Creative Ladies group? What have you learned from that?
Well, I don't know where to start from. There's so many ways. I think it's important to allow yourself to get help. Often we are quite shy about showing our vulnerable moments, discussing worries and fears. And I think looking back, I learned that it's so much better to open up, to discuss those weaker points and to face them and then work with them, because that can be super rewarding. And I think from then on, you can develop your dream, whatever it might be, if it's the architectural office or Creative Ladies, in a very constructive way. I've also learned that one of the main learnings was to phrase your fears, to actually write them down and to say, what is the worst that can happen? What can really happen? And once you're facing it, it often already weakens, because you kind of, it's not just this overwhelming feeling inside you that kind of blocks you from doing what you really want to do. And it turns into something concrete that you can battle and work with. Not sure if I'm too happy with this answer, but we can go about this later.
Yeah, no, I mean, the two things that you've mentioned there, allowing yourself to get help, you know, facing your own vulnerability, so to speak, and then secondly, voicing your fears, asking yourself, what's the worst that can happen? You're not the first person who said that. I think, Maribel, you'll agree with me on these podcasts. I wonder if you could give me an example of when you asked for help.
Well, I guess when I was at the brink of founding my office, after having my group coaching sessions with Maribel and my former employer, I also took private coaching sessions with another coach, and it helped me a lot to focus and narrow down the pros and cons and to allow myself and say, yes, you can go to a coach, nothing will happen, no one can judge you for this. And I also realized the only person who can judge you for not doing this, what you really dream of, is yourself. I guess another example would be to ask for help in the sense of really asking your peers, but also your closer friends and family members to sit down with them, not just amongst the dinner table, like during a normal chit chat, but really sit down and be like, listen, what do you think of this idea? Do you think I can do this? What are your thoughts about this? You know me really well. And to listen to those answers can be supportive, but it can also be not very supportive. Mm. And what to do with this answer, I think, is really interesting, because it's not easy just to listen to the positive answers. Often the negative answers are the ones that we work with at night. But it's, I think, also very important to face all of them beforehand, before you take an important decision.
Mm. And we've also had, I would say, mixed responses in terms of when we asked the question, what did your friends and family think of your audacious goal? Mm. So sometimes we had, you know, everybody was, all my friends and family were for it, or those who were against it, I just had to ignore them and you know, accept that they had a different opinion to myself. How was it with you? How did your friends and family react? And if there were any negative thoughts, how did you deal with it?
Well, I think it could have not been more black and white on that front. And I think both reactions forced me to double check all doubts I was confronted with and realize I am the one who's taking this decision, and I am the one who will need to deal with any negative or positive outcomes of it. No one else. So I think it was very useful to listen to both and take them serious, but also to analyze, okay, where does this person know me from? Am I a daughter? Am I a small sister? Am I a friend? Am I an older friend, younger friend? It very depends on what kind of role you play in those people's lives. Are they trying to protect you? Are they already inspired by you? I think those questions are important to ask, and then to understand their answers better. And I think you can draw inspiration from so many great people out there. Don't expect your friends and family to be the best source for this.
I find very very wise, I think that's the word I want to use, from you, Felicia, to name it that way, that if it's, for example, negative comments or what you would consider negative comments coming from mother or father, for example, that actually you translate that into caring. They are trying to protect you. They are trying to fulfill their role as parent, and that you did not take it by face value. I would like to know if there was a process that you went through to be able to see it that clearly, because usually we don't. That I'm just surprised, and I want to understand what was going through your head. What were your thoughts there?
Absolutely. It was a huge process. And I think this process started way before my thoughts of founding an office, because it starts with your upbringing, right? That's where you start getting the no's and the fears transported from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. And we must be aware that my parents' generation or grandparents' generation has faced a totally different level of self-reflection than what we are doing. And I think their answers to our questions are always in the sense of protecting us and trying to make sure that we're not going down a dangerous road and that we can stay safe and so on. So, going back to your question, the process has started way before realizing that I've been brought up in a surrounding where it's rather uncommon for the mother or the woman to follow up a job of her dreams, let alone maybe realize what your dream job may be. I think that's where it starts. Once you can phrase that, it's another thing to follow it. But if you always, your main goal should have been to be a mom, then you stop thinking maybe of what your career options could be. So it took me a few years, definitely, and inspiring other sources, as I mentioned before, like books or TED Talks, and definitely a great deal of coaching sessions, to realize that most of my beliefs were fears, no-sayers, which were limiting my dreams and, yes, also my potential And it took some years to rephrase them into yes sentences and into I can do this, and to ask myself the question, what's the worst that can happen? And it would be too definitely not right if I'd say, oh, this didn't move me anymore if close members of my family weren't super supportive of me finding an office, or even now 3 years later saying, oh, you will have a son, when are you going to close your office? And now that the son is there, like, what, you're still working? Why are you doing that? Kind of these questions continue. And I would lie if I'd say they don't touch me. Of course they touch me, because these are people that I love. And I just wish that they would understand my path better, or would give me more positive sentences, let's say, and maybe more constructive solutions, because of course they've got to deal more years, lots of more years of experience than I do. But what helped me as well is to kind of understand, where do I draw my inspiration from, for which areas in my life? And I think it's important to draw your inspiration from and listen to quotes or listen to advice from people whose path you would love to follow as well. And there's no help in me listening to an advice that comes from a person that is looking or living a totally different life than what I'm looking into right now.
It's an excellent point, and I'm finding this very inspirational, what you're saying here, Felicia. I'm wondering, so you focused on perhaps these obstacles of what other people were thinking about what you were doing. I'm wondering whether there were other obstacles in the way, practical obstacles or financial obstacles or anything like this, and how you overcame those.
I guess I had a lucky chance, looking back, of founding my office with a rather large architectural project, but it took me a while to realize this could be the project I could start my office with to turn it around. But looking back now, without this project, I probably would have not done the step at this time. So I guess the finances were fine for a year or two, but when I talk to people now and they ask me, wow, I was so brave to found an office. And I was like, well, if you look at my finances this year and year four, they're horrible. And often people think once you've found your office and you're still alive, then everything has gone wonderfully. And that's just not the case. It's important to realize you might have a safe start, but the path it takes or the obstacles might just turn up on the way. And it's a question of tackling them down the road. So I guess there were more during the past 4 years than before founding the office. Because I always ask myself, what happens if the office doesn't run well? What would be the worst thing that happened to my career? And I was like, well, the worst is actually to face yourself in the mirror and say, it didn't work. and then to apply again to offices and be like, hi, I'm here. Actually, I had a great deal of experiences in the last years. It didn't work out the way I thought, and I'm back in the job pool. So I think that would have been the worst thing that can happen. So I looked at the obstacles in a quite small perspective.
So Felicia, you had, before you started your own architectural office, you were an employee. And now you're the boss. I would like to know, what is, from what you learned being as an employee and having people telling you what to do or being your bosses, what is the type of leader that you are or that you want to be?
Yeah, I really like this question because I think in architectural offices, it's so uncommon to meet talented leaders. And I was always frustrated to be faced with someone who not like to give you a feedback session or who'd not like to develop you in your best potential. Or it's usually a very creative plot of people. But all these extra things that come up with a good leader, they're just a little bit neglected, I think. So my goal was, and I really enjoy it to follow this goal, is to develop the people I'm working with, to develop young, talented girls to mature in short periods of time, to self-assured young professionals. I'd love to explore their potential, to see where they want to go to. And we even have, I just had a conversation last week with one of my employees saying, listen, I really like you. I think you're a great member of the team, but I just feel that you're not working on what you really want to work on in your life. For the office, it will be a loss, but I don't think you're on the right track. And he was so thankful that we were having this conversation because of course he already felt this, but maybe he wasn't able to phrase it. And now we're looking for options on how he can get on the track that is like in his life, the best track for him. And I think that's so great to really look into those people and to see what motivates them, where are their strengths and how can we work on things that are not yet so strong. And also a lot comes with self-assurance. And of course, my team is super young, but it's absolutely, the age is no obstacle as I realize, because it really comes down to the self-assurance, and that can be super weak at mid-30, that can be super strong at the beginning of your 20s. It matters, there's no matter with age, and it just is a lot of fun for me to see them develop, and it's incredible how they blossom.
No, that was very generous of you to identify that and to, you know, come to the conclusion that perhaps this young person was better off without your business, you know, working for you, and to develop him over developing the company. What was going on in you as you were thinking about this?
To be honest, I don't think it's so generous, because if I realize someone is not working with his or her highest level of motivation, it's not the best for my business. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day. So the best for my business, talking totally economically, is to have super motivated people who want to spend their time, a huge part of their lifetime in this office. And if you realize that someone is very into other things, but maybe just doesn't allow himself or herself to go another path and thinks you're fixed to this path and that's the only straight way you should go. And I'm a big fan of meeting at crossroads and redeciding your route. Mm. I think it's the best for the office to realize this and to also stop relationships at certain points. And I'm always open to come back together if the path should cross again.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I'd like to go back to the second thing that you did, which was to start the network Creative Ladies. What was your motivation? I mean, I imagine you're quite busy if you've started a new company, this architectural practice. What was your motivation for then starting a network of young creative women as well on the side?
Yeah, as I probably mentioned before, that I wanted to give a platform to young women where you can meet, discuss, inspire each other, get inspired by people that are higher up in the career, have a few years more experience, maybe a lot of years more experience. And we had interviews with ladies in our industry from 40 up to 75. And it was super beautiful, actually, to listen to the elder ones looking back on their career and allowing them to realize what they've achieved for the first time, it felt like. And they, seeing them being moved and actually for the first time really proud of themselves, like opening up in front of a young circle of architects and creatives and saying, yeah, actually I did this. Yeah, you're right. This is actually quite an achievement. And I was like, wow, this is exactly what this is for. Mm-hmm. Giving each other support and inspiration. And I think often we think, oh, we're already in such a setup society and we're doing really well in Germany and in Europe in general. And of course it's right there. Countries that are a lot worse off, definitely. And it's important to keep that in mind. But I think still there's so much to do and girls are still limiting their dreams a lot. And I think that's what I'm working for. And that's my absolute goal, to be part of the movement to help young women to follow their goals and dreams and not see obstacles, not to see barriers, not to think even in genders, not to even come across the thought, oh, Maggie actually is not the right thing for me because I'm a girl. I think that thought should just be no thought in future.
So that's quite interesting, Felicia. So from your experience with Creative Ladies and your own personal experience, what would you say is keeping young women with small dreams and not, you know, trying bigger things, bolder goals, risking, taking risks? What is it?
Doesn't it already start in your childhood? Maybe you also came across this book, Untamed, which is amongst the news this year. Doesn't it start in the childhood with the wrong sentences, the wrong beliefs, like girls should be more tamed or should be more this and that, and boys can be rougher, can be stronger? It starts at school when the sports teacher asks, 8 boys, please come over here to carry this and that. Like, that's where it starts, I think. And it's super subconscious. And the only way to break this free, I think, are role models, examples, speakers in school, in university. But it already starts before university. There's so many jobs that are still lacking a lot of women because they just don't study the subject. And so they don't choose the subject in the first place. Why don't they choose it? Because they think it's not right for them. So it really starts at school, where you should, I think we should all be more present and give a perspective.
That reminds me the word role model. Actually, Felicia, you were an inspiration for this podcast, because it was upon a conversation with Felicia, and that was must have been last year around May, something like that, that I asked her if she had any role models or if she admired someone, and the answer was So her first answer was, I don't know, I don't think, something like that, I don't remember. And later we spoke about it again, and Felicia said, you know what, actually, after thinking about it, I do have some people. But it was that first reaction that inspired me to speak to Helen and tell Helen, you know what, Helen, we need people, that we need to be bringing up people to a stage where we can look at what they're doing and learn from whatever goal that they are pursuing. So actually, Felicia is one of the inspirations for, at least for me, for our podcast. So now to my question, Felicia, who do you admire? Who has inspired you?
Yeah, it's actually a very close person who unfortunately is not alive anymore. It's my grandmother, Vivian.
Yeah.
And she's a main inspiration for me because she grew up in far more unequal and challenging times than we do. And yet she's managed to study. She managed to work. She did small jobs to finance her first bike to be able to travel across Germany. She was always such, looking back as a child, you don't realize, you just love your grandmother. But looking back, she is such an independent woman. And I think that's really inspirational, because it influenced me, maybe also hopefully genetically. I think looking at what she had to face also during World War II, and every time getting back up on her feet with zero money, sewing her own clothes, like the problems they had, they were so far bigger than what we do and what we have to face. And yet, to stay strong, to stay positive, to still enjoy. She had such an enjoyment for art, for music, for books, for flowers, to find those inspirations in life, to still see them, even though horrible things happened with you, to you, to your family. I think that's very uplifting, and I can only draw from this.
That's beautiful.
Indeed.
I hope she can hear this podcast.
So Felicia, you know, our podcast is called Audaciousness. The audacious part is clear, the bold, having that big, risky goal in the first place. And Ness is kind of like an archaic word that describes a bit of land that juts out into the sea. And it's kind of like the solid ground around constant moving of water and things that want to push you down. So our question to you is, while were you pursuing your goal, where did you get the solid grounding to continue while everything else was in motion around you?
Well, at the beginning, you're shaken by fears and worries, and they can overwhelm you and stop you from thinking clearly. I think the more defined your dream is, the easier it is to set your obstacles aside and to follow up your dream. But thinking of what really kept me grounded was that I believed in myself. I just realized this by reading through this question. I was like, well, actually, always came back to the fact that I did this and that in the past years. I will try and do this. What can happen? And I'll try my best. And I try to stay myself. I think that's really important, not to try to be someone else. Stay yourself and to trust yourself. So I think that it's also important that the grounding is not depending on so many other things, that you can actually let go everything else and all the other columns start shaking. But you know, you're still there, no matter how, if you're lying or if you're pregnant or a mom, you're still there breathing. And as long as that's the case, I think you can still follow your dream.
That's lovely. Keep it simple, yeah. It sounds like then.
Beautiful.
Absolutely. And to overthink your fears, to overthink your plans, things come anyway differently.
Yeah.
I guess you both know this already way better than I do. Sometimes we over-engineer our plans and then we're even more shaken up because it goes a different path.
Indeed.
Oh, wow. That was very nice. Thank you so much, Felicia, for sharing all those insights with us.
Thank you, Felicia. I've thoroughly
enjoyed
this.
Thank you, too.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be able to reflect so early on the last years, because, of course, I'm not that old yet. But, yeah, and then you realize maybe I'm not that young anymore either.
So that was a really interesting and thought-provoking conversation. I think Felicia, in my opinion, Felicia is wise beyond her years. Mm. I'm sure that I didn't have that much introspection when I was her age. And I think you're very lucky to have met her, Maribel. You've known her a few years, and I'm sure you've had a lot of deep conversations with her in that time. But I'm wondering, what are the key things that you're taking away from this particular conversation?
I think to sum it up in one word, thinking about what I know of Felicia and what she told us in the interview, that word would be fearlessness, being fierce. And maybe it's not even about not feeling the fear, but just dealing with it and doing it, whatever it is that you want to do. And in Felicia's case, with 29, starting up her own architectural studio, because what if it works well? What if it's a success? And years later, that would be a huge regret not having an answer to that. So that's one of the reasons why I admire Felicia, because she was fierce and she was fearless.
That's a good point, asking the question, what if it works? Because this excellent piece of advice that Felicia did give was about voicing your fears. And she said not only to write them down, but also to ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? I used to ask myself, what have I got to lose? Which I guess is a similar, you know, it's like getting away from the negative, but you've just reworded or rephrased that in terms of what if I succeed, which I think is a very positive way of looking to the future. Do you remember one of our previous podcast guests, Denise? This was in episode 5. She said that she asked herself exactly the same question. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
And when we were talking about that afterwards, I remember something that you said to me once about fear, that it stops you in your tracks. It hits you at such an emotional level that it stops you from logically thinking, okay, so what if that happens? And then what if that happens? I wonder if you could explain. I think you can probably express it a bit better than I can. Could you explain that again, what you said?
Yes, of course. I can do that. Happy to do that. The thing is that when we are in a state of fear, we're not thinking logically, and we only think to the point of the worst that can happen. And we don't continue the thinking process of the possibilities that can come after that really bad thing that can happen. So imagine that the worst thing is, let's take Felicia, for example. She starts her own company and has the first project. And then after that, there are no projects anymore. And usually then people stop thinking there. And the trick is to continue thinking, okay, so if that happened, what would I do in that situation? Well, option one could be, I try it out a couple of more months, depending on the money that I have saved, or I need to look for a job. And so what? And if that happens, the thing is that from whatever that you did that didn't work out, you learn from that. Remember with Andrea falling forward or failing forward? And actually, we come up with options. If that worst case scenario were to happen, we do have options. I have to give up my apartment and then I can move in with my sister, or I get a job doing something till I get a real job doing whatever it is that I really want to do. So actually there are lots of options. And when I do this with a client, usually there's some kind of solution to the point that people come up with ways of how to get back on their feet and continue their life in a way that they're happy with.
So it kind of, the fear of failure or even the fear of success can paralyze you and stop you from thinking logically about what to do. And then that paralysis stops you from actually doing the thing in the first place.
Absolutely. Yes. It's fear that makes you think emotionally and not logically. And that's the problem.
There's a famous quote. I think it was a former US president who said it. There is nothing to fear but fear itself.
Exactly. Because making decisions based on fear, we make very bad decisions. Mm-hmm. It's a lot better to make decisions based on hope. Mm-hmm. I think that's a quote from Michelle Obama. That's not mine.
And connected to this fear issue is the question about asking your friends and family for advice and guidance. And can you remember 2 episodes ago, we spoke to Colin and he said about asking your friends and family is a definite no-no because they're not your target audience. Mm. And then just last time, Rika said her parents couldn't understand her lifestyle choice and kept asking questions like, why do you want to live like that? Mm-hmm. And I also had it from some friends when I moved to the Outer Hebrides. What do you want to live there for? You know? But I think Felicia gave some excellent advice. She said, yes, listen to others, but pay attention to the role you play in that person's life.
That was amazing, yeah.
And the relationship you have with them and therefore where they're coming from with their advice. Mm-hmm. And she also said to follow people whose paths resonate with where you also want to go. And in that regard, your friends and family may not be the best source. And I completely agree with all of that. And I would add, since we're talking about fear, that often when people ask questions like, what do you want to do that for? Or they say things like, it'll never work. That's actually just a projection of their own fears. Mm-hmm. They're just voicing their fears of why they wouldn't do the thing that you're planning on doing. But at the end of the day, it's your decision. It's your choice. I think this is what Felicia said as well. And you should simply go with what feels best for you, despite what others say. And I think we definitely need more people to be doing what feels right for them right now, rather than following the opinions of others, given the current state of events.
Absolutely. Yes, I also think that the way Felicia, the perspective with which she analyzed the opinions of her siblings or her parents was so, I just felt so humbling because she didn't disregard it as, oh no, that's useless advice and I'm not going to listen to it. But she listened to it and tried to understand, where are they coming from? Why are they afraid for me? And yeah, I think just even beautiful to have that understanding that what your parents are telling you and wishing for you is actually from the perspective of they just want you to have a good life. And they're not you. They have it's another generation, another perspective. And to see that different opinion as something as love or caring, I thought that was very special.
Yeah, definitely a good way of looking at it. Now, we called this episode Challenging Societal Norms because of something that Felicia said in terms of, well, you asked her, what is it that keeps women playing small? Mm. And she said it starts in your childhood. And she gave this excellent example, which I'm probably going to remember forever, when the sports teacher says at school, 8 boys, please carry this and that. And and you don't realize, you know, you just assume, right, okay, boys, they're stronger, they have to do it. But girls could carry the bench as well. And you take those kind of, well, conditioning. We've talked about conditioning today.
That was the word I was thinking about too.
You take that conditioning into your adulthood with you, and you know that these assumptions and these basic conditionings that you have, you don't realize it. And I guess that is a strong factor why women don't play as big as they could do. Would you agree with that, Maribel?
Yes, 100%. It's we learn that. It's part of our socialization. What is my role in society? What am I allowed to do? And if I do something outside of that box, then that's a bad girl. She should be doing that. And yeah, as we said, this conditioning tells you, don't do that. You don't get the reward that you want. And the reward that women are taught to desire is, good girl, this is what we expect from you.
Yeah. And that's why it's important, I think, to have for women to have female role model. I mean, you can have male role models as well, but to have female role models. And Felicia mentioned her grandmother. And she, when she was telling this story about her grandmother, I was reminded of Andrea Houston in the very first episode that we talked about, because she had a strong grandmother in terms of, you know, whatever kind of adversity came along, she would deal with it and somehow succeed. And it's this kind of perseverance and attitude that I'm going to get through this and I'm going to come out okay, that we need to have. And you know, seeing other women do that, women who you respect doing that, I think is really important.
Yes, that attitude of having this conviction that you're going to succeed, even if you don't know what exactly is going, how it's going to play out, that's confidence. And that is what girls most of the time lack, because they are expected to be, to not try things out. It's trying things out and failing and, you know, just not making such a big deal out of it. Like, okay, that didn't go well, then I'll try something else. And I think boys are allowed a lot more to practice in failing and trying again and trying again. So in the end, they can be more successful, because women want to have it needs to be perfect. Mm. It needs to be done till every single detail is fantastic. And oh, what if it's not perfect? And then in the end, you have no practice making mistakes and improving.
And that is the reason why we wanted to do this podcast in the first place, as you mentioned in the interview, to showcase individuals. They seem to have been mainly women so far, but we have had some men. We do have some men. But yeah, showcasing people who have set themselves audacious goals, gone through all the challenges, the trials and the tribulations, fallen many times, but got back up and dealt with their fears and dealt with the fears of the people around them. and yet have come through. So we're providing role models, hopefully, for our listeners too.
I'm very happy about that. That is, for me, very fulfilling. Thanks very much for listening to this episode of our podcast, Audaciousness. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. A huge thanks to Felicia for sharing her interesting journey of entrepreneurship with us. I hope that's an example for other young women to go out there and take a step closer to their dreams.
Indeed. If you enjoyed this episode, please give it a like. And if you think someone else would benefit from listening to this conversation, please pass it on to them, share it with your friends, your family, your colleagues. And if you know of any other audacious people, including yourself, please get in touch, as we'd love to speak to you.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with another audacious person and another audacious episode. See you then. Bye.
Bye.